Open your Bibles to Psalm 22. If you find your place there, will you stand with me for a word of prayer and our scripture reading tonight? Psalm 22, some thousand years before Christ was born in Bethlehem, King David penned these words and wrote this song and sent it to the chief musician for them to worship, to sing. And there would be immediate fulfillment. David was a prophet, according to the scriptures. And there would be immediate fulfillment in his own life, but ultimate fulfillment and full fulfillment in Christ. So let's pray together, and then we're going to read part of this text. Our Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace tonight, we're thankful for the opportunity together, and we're thankful above all things for Christ, who came to save sinners like us. And Lord, I pray that Jesus would be magnified through the reading and preaching of the Word of God tonight, that you would open our eyes, that you would illuminate us to your truth, that you would guide us into all truth, that you would teach us truth by your Spirit tonight, that we might know the love of Christ in a greater way, how deep it is and how wide it is and how far it reaches. And Lord, the lengths that you went to take away our sin and to satisfy your divine justice, and that you would be pleased to bruise Christ for us. Please help us to understand. Help us to love you as we see how much we are loved. And please bless your word and help me, for I am nothing without you. And we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have set me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. And thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord. O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. For thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns. Amen. We'll stop right there. Please be seated. As we prepare our hearts this Easter season, this Holy Week, as we look to the scriptures, and I trust that you've been reading and studying and meditating on the last week of our Savior's life, that we would be reminded of the cross of our Savior. Amen. Every year about this time, there's a lot of debate about when Jesus died. Was it on Friday? Was it on Thursday? Was it on Wednesday? And I think it's good to dig in and study and try to figure those things out. But friends, at the end of the day, whatever day of the week it was, we know that God Himself became a man and willingly went to the cross to lay down His life. And I don't want to miss the forest for the trees. I don't want to get so consumed with the details that we forget the big thing. Amen. And the big thing is that Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah promised from the beginning, the only hope for salvation, gave His life on Calvary for sinners like us.
Praise God. Praise God.
And as we look through this psalm, there are so many places in the New Testament where this psalm is quoted from. It points to other places in Scripture. The same truths are taught in places in the Old Testament as well. And we can tie all of those things together. Now, when this was written as a song, as I mentioned, David would have been prophesying of things in his own life as well. And sometimes as you read through this psalm, you might be going, kind of like the Ethiopian eunuch asked Philip, is he speaking of himself or some other man? And as we read this, that was Isaiah 53, but as we read Psalm 22, we might ask the same thing in different places. Is he speaking of himself or some other man? And in many ways, David was talking about himself. And I don't know to what degree he understood that he was talking about Messiah. I don't know to what degree he knew he was pointing to Messiah, but at some level he knew. In some way he knew through the inspiration of the Spirit as he wrote, being moved by the Holy Ghost, he wrote down these truths 1,000 years before Christ.
Amen.
And think about the details that he gives. I want to ask you to just do me a favor for a second. And we, in our thinking, especially in America and the way we like to work, we want everything to be in a nice timeline order. We want step 1, 2, and 3 with subpoints A, B, and C. But God's Word just doesn't work like that.
Amen.
And there's a lot of things that are out of order here, and maybe that messes you up. But listen, you shouldn't let it mess you up, because what God is trying to do, He's trying to get you to see as you hear His Word.
Amen.
God's Word is supposed to open our eyes to truth, and we were to see with our understanding the things that we hear. It doesn't make sense, does it? The Bible tells us to be careful how we see what we hear. In the original, we've translated it, and it's we want to be careful how we hear what it says, but it's actually be careful that you see what it says. Now that doesn't make sense, does it? I mean, you don't see sound. That's what somebody who's on some bad drugs does, right? But that's exactly what God wants us to do. He wants us to see what we hear in His Word.
Amen.
So here's what I want you to do. I want to ask you to close your eyes for a moment, if they're not already closed. And I want you to listen. Listen not just with your ears and not just with your mind, but listen with your heart. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? My God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not. And in the night season, and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength. Haste thee to help me. Open your eyes. When you hear the words of this psalm, don't answer out loud, but when you hear the words, what do you see? What do you see in your heart? What do you see in your mind? What do you see when you hear, oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What do you see when you hear the Savior cry out, they pierced my hands and my feet? What do you see when you hear our Savior say, I am a worm and no man? You see, God wants us to see. He wants us to see with our heart. He wants us to understand with the innermost part of our being who Jesus is and what he was willing to do for us. Amen. I'm going to take a moment to walk through some New Testament scriptures and some other places as well to share with you that tie in directly to this psalm. Matthew 27 and verse 46, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. That's Luke 22, 44. Luke 22, verse 39. Luke 22, verse 39. And he came out, and went as it was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared angels unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And again, verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow, he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Our God cried out. God the Son cried out to God the Father. And the Bible says that he would hear him, but you say, well, how did he hear him? Because he went to the cross. He heard everything that Christ prayed. But remember, he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. And he prayed that for our benefit, that we would understand there is no other way for sinners like us to be saved, but that God himself would become a man and die for our sins. There's no other way. And so he cried out to God. We see the separation from God on the cross, that there was a separation, that there was a forsaking, there was a turning away from God the Father, from the Son. And you may ask me, Brother Isaac, how is that possible? And I have no idea. I have no idea how God himself could have a separation or a turning away or a forsaking of any way from one part of God to another part of God. I don't understand that. I just know it's what it says. That Jesus, the Son, took on the sin of the whole world. That he became sin for us, even though he knew no sin. And so he bore that sin alone. Not only forsaken by his disciples, not only did all of them forsake him and flee, but that God the Father in some way would turn away from the Son, and he would bear that pain. He would bear that shame. He would bear that sorrow. He would bear our sin alone. Because there was none other who could. Only God in the flesh, God who had become man, only in the incarnation could God take on the sin of the world. And that's exactly what he did. If thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will. And Jesus prayed so fervently, so earnestly, that it was like blood running from his face as he prayed. The agony. The agony that Christ endured before he ever went to the cross is more than I can understand. Have you ever cried so much there were no more tears? Have you ever been so broken there was nothing left? Amen. Have you ever agonized to the point that you were sweating profusely? And the agony that Christ felt, even the very vessels, the capillaries in his skin would break and mix with the sweat and it would fall. As he prayed about going to the cross for you. Amen. I told you there's a lot of back and forth here. He's talking about what Jesus would say from the cross, and then talking about his prayer before he went to the cross. And then we get this verse 3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." And I'm reminded of Revelation 4. Verses 8 through 11, Revelation 4, verse 8. He says, "And the four beasts had one of them, each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." He is holy, 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 and he inhabits the praises of his people. And there are angels created for the purpose to be around the throne to cry, "Holy, holy, holy," day and night, forever and ever. Amen. And those who have been redeemed by the Lamb will have the joy one day to fall before the throne of the Lord God in heaven and lay down our crowns at his feet and give him all praise and all glory and all honor, because he alone is worthy. Amen. And we get to glorify him forever and ever. Verse 4, "Our fathers trusted in thee, they trusted and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered. They trusted in thee and were not confounded." And I'm encouraged by these verses, because so much of the New Testament, so much of what we've been studying on Sunday, deals with Jews who rejected Jesus. Remember, he came unto his own and his own received him not. Remember, the chief cornerstone came, and to those that believed he was salvation, but to those who did not believe he was a stumbling block and a rock of offense. But remember, that wasn't all the Jews. Praise God, some of them believed. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, they believed. Joshua believed and Caleb believed and King David believed and so many others before and behind them believed on God. And they were not confounded. They were not led astray. They did not stumble at Christ the Lord. Many of them trusted, and when they trusted in him, they were delivered. And by the way, if you'll trust in him, you will be delivered. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. "To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively or living stones are built upon a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." Unto you therefore who believe, he is precious. Amen. "But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, The same is the maid, the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And for all who are disobedient to the gospel, those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they stumble at him, and they are appointed unto wrath. But to those who believe, he is precious. To those who believe, he is salvation. To those who believe, you're not appointed to wrath, but you are appointed to life everlasting.
Amen.
Back in our text, verse 6, he says, "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." This word worm is an odd word. It's strange that a man would say, "I'm a worm," anyway, for David to say, "I'm a worm," but then for it to apply to Christ is beyond my comprehension. But when you study this word out, it's really a scarlet worm, and it's actually translated crimson a couple of times in the Old Testament because this particular kind of worm would be crushed, and it would ooze out a red substance that was used as a dye. And when the Lord says that I am a worm, it's a picture of him being crushed and of his precious blood being shed as the atonement for our sins. He put himself in the lowest place to die for us. Be hard to think of much lower than a worm. He said, "I'm a worm, I'm no man, I'm a reproach of men and despised of the people. All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.'" In Matthew chapter 27, verse 20, Matthew 27, 20. "But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, 'Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?' They say, 'Barabbas.' Pilate saith unto them, 'What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?' They all say unto him, 'Let him be crucified.' And the governor said, 'Why? What evil hath he done?' But they cried out the more, saying, 'Let him be crucified.'" And down in verse 29, in Matthew 27, "When they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head." And in verse 39 in that same chapter, the word of God says, they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God. Come down from the cross." Likewise, also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, "He saved others. Himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.' The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth." Do you hear it? Do you hear Psalm 22:8? "He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him." It's amazing to me. It's astounding to me that these scribes and elders and chief priests who knew the word of God, they had it memorized. I'm talking about men where you could say any verse in the first 5 books of the Bible easily, any verse, and they'll tell you the verse before it and after it. You could ask them to begin at any place and they could recite books of the Old Testament. It's astounding to me that those men, knowing the scriptures as they did, would quote the scriptures, fulfilling the scriptures, but not as one who would be a champion of God, not as one who would be a servant of God, not as one who would be a follower of God, but one who would be a murderer of God. From the very beginning. it was appointed unto Christ to be the Savior of the world. In verse 9 in Psalm 22, he said, "But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast, when I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." In Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 3. "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Jesus, from the beginning, was set apart, was called to be the Savior of the world, to be the living Word of God. Psalm 71 and verse 6 says, "By thee have I beholden from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of me." And let me remind you tonight that back in our text in verse 11, he said, "Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help." And Jesus said in John 16:32, "Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." Amen. And the Father was with him up until the moment he became sin for us. Amen. And for a time, he was truly alone. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7 through 10. Some of the most amazing things that I see in the scripture, it's hard for me to even begin to comprehend. He says in verse 7, "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek." And your Bible says here that Jesus, even though he was a son, he would learn obedience through suffering. I don't know how God learns anything, but I know that Jesus, when he became a man, he emptied himself. And in some ways, he walked in this life without using the power of his deity, without using the power of his divinity, and he walked as a man. Walked as a man in obedience to his Father, walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, and he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. And he offered up prayers and supplications. He did so with strong crying and tears to the one that was able to save him. And notice what it said, he was heard. God the Father heard him. And he did exactly what he asked. Did he not? "Thy will be done." That's what Jesus prayed. And that was what it was accomplished, that Christ would bear the sins of the world. Verse 12, Psalm 22. "Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion." And the Bible says in Matthew 27, verse 1, "When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor." These were all the people, all the chief priests and the people. They took him and they surrounded him. They gaped upon him with their mouths. That means that they opened their mouths to revile him. They opened their mouths to mock him. They opened their mouths to accuse him. This idea of the bulls of Bashan led me to Amos chapter 4. Amos 4, verses 1 and 2. He says, "Hear this word, ye kine of Bashan, that are in the mountains of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, Bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you that he will take you away with hooks and your posterity with fish hooks." And what the Lord is doing here in Psalm 22, verses 12 and 13, he is saying that these priests and scribes and elders and the people who gathered around him to take him away, he said they're like the Samaritans. They're like those pagans. They're like those who are not true worshipers of God. Amen. That's what they were like. Matthew 26, verse 59. Matthew 26, 59. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. And the high priest arose and said unto him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. What that means, friends, is you said it. It's what you just said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken blasphemy. What further need do we have? We have witnesses. Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye? And they answered and said, he is guilty of death. Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ. Who is he that smote thee? And they would take Jesus to the cross. And Matthew 27:35 would simply say this, and they crucified him. Very simple words. That tell us of suffering beyond most what most of us can begin to comprehend. We heard the beautiful song before the service. You see the video portraying Jesus. There have been many videos, many movies made to try to portray what Christ endured. But I want you to understand that none of them, none of them can fully show what Jesus endured. The Bible says that his visage, his face was so marred, he didn't even look like a man. Amen. At the crown of thorns, the beating, the spitting, they plucked the hairs from his face. The scourging that Jesus endured often killed people. And so he says in verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd. My tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me, the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones, they look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. When they got Jesus to the top of the mountain, he couldn't even carry his own cross. One from the crowd had to carry it for him. And we read that they crucified him. That's exactly what David wrote about. They pierced his hands and his feet. And it's amazing to consider because crucifixion didn't even exist in David's day. He's writing about a form of execution that didn't even exist, hadn't even been invented yet. And it's exactly what happened. They took him to the cross. They laid one hand and they would drive a spike through here. And they would drive a spike through here. And then they would lay one foot over the other and they would drive a spike through his ankle bones all the way through. Once they drove the spike through Jesus' hands and his feet, they would come to the backside of the wood and they would bend the nail over so it couldn't be pulled out. They would hoist Jesus up into the cross and drop him down so that the violence of dropping him down would rip his arms out of socket, which would make it excruciating. When the Lord says, I may tell all my bones, what that means is I can feel all of my bones. That means that he was hurting everywhere in his body and he could feel every part. He'd been through so much trauma that scientists, medical doctors tell us that the sac around the heart would begin to come apart. And that's where the water and the blood come in. He says, my heart is like wax. It's melted in the midst of my bowels. That's an apt description of what was going on inside of him. And that's why when the soldier drove the spear into his side, blood and water poured out. Even the details of the soldiers gambling for his garments, casting lots upon his vesture. Every detail came to pass exactly as God said. Amen. And I think the words of Christ from the cross, so many things that he said. But let me close with these two. First, he looks down and he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I don't understand everything that means. I don't think it means that everybody who was there that day was saved. But I do think it means that that was his desire. And I do believe that Jesus was asking his Father to withhold his immediate wrath for those who would spit in the face of his Son and mock him and revile him. God would have been just to wipe out every one of them, just like he would be just to wipe every one of us out. He said more things from the cross, but I want to end with this. In John 19 and verse 30, the Bible says, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. Amen. The lamb slain from the foundation of the world was now slain. Amen. The woman's conquering seed, who would be bruised in his heel, has now crushed the serpent's head. The only true God and Savior has died in our place. The work of salvation is finished. The way of redemption is done. The debt has been paid in full. Let's stand together. Fathers, we come before your throne. There is not enough time, there are not enough words to say all that needs to be said about Christ, all that he did and all that he said. I am so thankful for the word that you've given us, the record that we have from heaven of the life, of the death, of the resurrection of Jesus, our Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would bless my feeble efforts to exalt Christ tonight. I pray that he would be magnified in the hearts of every believer, and that his crucifixion, that Christ being lifted up for the sin of the world, would draw unbelievers to you, that you would draw them to repentance and faith as we see Jesus lifted up, that they would look to you and live. Father, I pray you'd forgive, that you'd help, that you would cause our hearts to meditate on you day and night, to think always on you and who you are and what you've done for us, and that by your grace and strength and power and by your Spirit, we would live for the one who died for us and rose again. Please get glory now. Your will be done in every heart, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.